Hello and welcome to Moneyline. This is Matt McCall. Thanks for joining me today. You know, I always say every week's a big show, but with what's going on in the market now, this is not only a big show, but it's an extremely important show. We're going to break down everything that's going on with this pullback. It's an historical pullback, to say the least. Also, a guest, a great friend of mine, Dan Ferris from Stansberry Research. He's going to be on with me. He made a big call about a week or two ago. We're going to talk to him about that and get his thoughts on the market. That's all coming up right now on Moneyline.
The buck starts here. Moneyline with Matt McCall.
We have to cover this market right now. I mean, I can go on forever. One thing I do want to say, on Wednesday, I put out about a seven-page, I got it right here, seven-page market update. I'm going to say it's probably one of the best things I've written in years, talking about the fear that's in the market. Granted, the market continues to fall since then. I'm putting out another one this weekend, so you must check this out. You can go to McCallMoneyWire.com. All of our daily updates are in there. We write an update every 5 days, or 5 weeks, sorry. That we put out there, my team and I put together. But I'm going to do a very in-depth one this weekend, so please check that out. It's a must-read for anybody who's looking for opportunity market. It's a must-read for anybody who's scared out of their wits right now. It will get you and calm you down and turn that shit off TV. Get CNN, CNBC off, because you're listening to them and you're going to lose money. I can guarantee you right now. You're going to lose money because they're going to create fear. So turn that off before you do anything. And if it's on the background when you're watching this, definitely get it off, because you don't want to have me on there at the same time. So let's just talk a little bit about what the hell's going on here. We all know what's driving this, the fear of this coronavirus. I don't have the updated numbers in front of me right now, but it's about, what, 3,000, 3,500 people that have had it now, I believe, somewhere around there. I'll pull up the numbers right now, or that died from it, sorry. So according to this, about 84,000 people, 83,900 people as of right now have gotten the virus. The deaths are about 2,800. Recovered. Some still have it, you know, and they're not dead, but they still have it. Recovered, 37,000. So let's just think about that number. 83,000 people that we know of have this virus. 2,800 deaths, and 37,000 have recovered. The ones in the middle there still have it, most likely based on the numbers. They will recover as well. There's about 44,000 or so active cases. And 82% of them, again, according to worldometers.info, 82% of them are mild. So again, we are getting so blown out of proportion with this. This is, I don't want to put any death down, 2,869 deaths. I don't want to put any death, push it aside, as it's not important. But I'm here to calm you down and help you make money in the markets. So I'm not here to be a damn doctor. I'm here to calm you down. As I mentioned, Dan, 2014, when I was live on air in Fox Business every day, we talked about this Ebola virus. I was part of the bullshit. I was one of the guys spewing it. That being said, I also recommended on October 1st, 2014, you can watch the video, it's out there. I recommended buying into airlines when we were talking about shutting down the damn airports. I said, buy airlines. They're great value here. Because if you truly believe that we're going to stop flying to China, that these airlines are going out of business, money doesn't fucking matter, honestly. It doesn't matter. Money is irrelevant because that means the world's going to end. And you know how many times the world ends? Once. One time. So you're going to have all the gold you want. You're going to have all the stocks you want. It doesn't matter. If that happens, it's irrelevant. So we're freaking out and we're basing and we're pricing in something that the likelihood of it happening is so slim. So we have to market down about 12-13%, about 13% S&P. And let's just go through some numbers here. First of all, a correction is a pullback in a market between 10 and 20%. 20% or more is considered a bear market. So we're in that wheelhouse of a correction right now. Based on history, we have corrections typically about every 13 months. So the last one that we had was December of 2018, 14 months later, almost right on the button. So this isn't something that typically that's crazy. This happens all the time, almost once a year. The average pullback during a correction is about 12.5%. What are we down now? About 12.5%. I'm not saying the correction's over, but I'm just showing you that this is about average of the pullback in a correction. Going back to 1974, we've had 22 corrections. Only four of them turned into bear markets. 1980, 1987, 2000, 2007. So the odds are, again, when you go into correction mode, that we will not go into a bear market. Could it happen? Sure. But the odds aren't with you. Another great stat I got from a Charles Schwab article I was reading, it talks about the bear markets and bull markets going back to February of 1966, so through today. The typical bull market lasts 2,300 days. The bear market, 500 days. The average bull market gains 220%. The average bear market, you're down 39%. So yes, bear markets do happen. And when they do happen, they last about 500 days, a little over a year. So that's 17 months, I believe. So they can hurt. But again, when you look at the length and the gains of the bull market, you typically, I'm looking at this chart, you guys can't see it, but blue is up, red's down. It's all blue, going back to 1966. You timing the market and getting out now is one of the most ridiculous strategies you'll ever see. I also have a great thing in front of me here. This goes back to the low from March 2009 of this bull market. We have these pullbacks of at least 5%. It's happened about 20 or so times looking at this chart. And it's funny, like, just why? And you know, the average pullback has lasted 26 days. We're about, what, 10 days into this one? The average pullback, 26 days. The average decline, 8%. We're obviously above that. But it just shows, you know, it shows the reasons, you know, why people sell. Oh, my God, Europe debt crisis in 2010. 2014, here it is. Ebola, global growth fears, falling oil. Greece, default concerns, 2015. China stock market crash, emerging market currency turmoil. Oh, my God, market down. We don't want it down. 12.5%. That was May through August of 2015. Brexit concerns, markets down 6%. Inflation, rising fear, 2018, January through February. My God, the VIX is at the highest level since we've seen then. Inflation fears, rising rates. Interest rates are at an all-time low. So it just shows we sold 12.5% pullback in 2008, January through February, same type of time frame. Similar pullback on inflation fears and rising interest rates. Rising interest rates, are you freaking kidding me? Interest rates at that point are about 3% in 10 years. We're at 1.2 now. That fear, that selling, that scared people out of the market was led by something that just never happened. It wasn't going to happen. So again, I'm not relating rising interest rates to what's going on with coronavirus, but it all goes back to our psychological way of how we invest. We as human beings are wired to lose money in a stock market. Because we base things on emotion. What you're telling yourself right now is, I can't deal with this anymore. I'm selling everything and I'll get back in at a lower price. No, you're not. It's not happening. I'll tell you right now, it is not happening. Because by the time you get back in, it's going to be much higher and you're actually going to lose money by selling. You're better off holding. I'm telling you right now. If you have a bunch of shit stocks in your portfolio, sell them. But you should have sold them 2 weeks ago and 2 years ago. That's not the point. The point is the market. We're talking market right now. All right. So the other thing is another great chart where you look at the typical what we call drawdown on an annual basis. That means if you look at the high to the low of every single year, I have the chart here in front of me, the high to the low of every single year, that is the what we call the max drawdown. Well, the max drawdown on average going back to 1980 is 14%. Again, we're down about 12.5%. Last year it was 7%. The year before that, 2018, it was 19.8%. That was the ugly December we had. Year before that, 3%. Year before that, 9%. Year before that, 12.5%. We have had, this is normal, from a high to a low throughout, even, and this is during a bull market, one of the greatest bull markets of all time. This happens. It's normal. What I'm trying to get across to you out there right now is stop panicking. Stop thinking about the worst case scenario. You're talking, you're listening right now to one of the biggest hypochondriacs in the world. I am ridiculous. Everything scares me. The wind scares me sometimes. I'm going to get blown over. Like, I am scared of absolutely everything. It's an issue. Trust me. I've had many shrinks. We can't figure it out. But a lot of issues. But this doesn't scare me, strangely enough, because I've seen it before. I've witnessed it. I've been in this business for 20 years. I know I look young. But I've been in this business for 20 years. I've lived through the 2000 crash, the 2008 financial crisis. I mean, I've lived through two of the worst pullbacks in the history of the stock market. I've also lived through two great bull markets and in the midst of another one right now. So I've seen a lot in 20 years. And I'm a historian. I've read about the stock market going back to the early 20th century. So I tend to believe that I know what I'm doing. And when it comes to selling into something like this, this is the exact opposite. I am with my personal money. I've been buying every single day this week. And when I get off this show, I'm probably going to take the little bit of cash I have left. I'm pretty invested right now and buy some more. And I'm buying some aggressive stocks. I'll tell you that. I'm not going to share them with you, but I'm buying some aggressive stocks when I'm doing this. So just a few other things I want to touch on. The VIX, which is a CBOE volatility index. It measures fear in the market. Well, it spiked to 40. It's at almost 49 right now. 49. To give you a bit of reference, for the most part over the last year or so, it's been in the teens at 49. So again, looking back in history, the last time we spiked up to this level, it was right around 49 as well, was that early time in 2018 when rising interest rates spooked the market. We pulled back about 12%. Before that, go back to 2015, again, spiked to the 50 area. Go back to 2011, 50 area. 2010, around 35. The only time going all the way back to the turn of this century, going back to the 90s now, the only time it's been higher above this $50 level or 50 point level was in 2008, 2009, when we had the financial crisis. It spiked that point. I think it was up to as high as in the 80s, 89. And again, that was a one-off thing. We saw Lehman Brothers go out of business. We saw companies, Bear Stearns blowing up. We saw so much. It was a completely different scenario. That's not this. That was a underlying fundamental issue with companies and stock market and world banking. Again, that's not this. This is 2,800 people passing away. Again, every death sucks. 2,800 people. But how about the 16,000 people that have died this year alone from the flu in this country? From the flu in this country. According to the CDC, between 29 million and 42 million people this year have had the flu. Almost 300,000 hospitalizations due to the flu. This is in our country, the United States. And again, let this resonate. 16,000 deaths in this country due to the flu. So if you're scared of anything, it should be scared of getting the flu. And I'll show you how smart I'm not. I went to the doctor yesterday for an annual physical, and she asked me if I wanted a flu shot, and I said no. And she just shook her head at me. I don't know why I said no. But she gave me a tetanus shot. Why the hell did she give me a tetanus shot? Like, I always thought that was only if you cut your hand on metal or something, or barbed wire. Who the hell's climbing on barbed wire? So I got a tetanus shot. And that's weird. Side note. So a few things I want to touch on, then I'm going to get into some fun stuff, some buying opportunities, is I looked at some headlines. And in my report I put out Wednesday, I took some headlines from the Ebola. And it's crazy. I mean, it is absolutely crazy. The Daily News, New York Post, a picture of two people, cops in hazmat suits, and says, Ebola here. I mean, talk about fear. I mean, the media sucks, people. This is the best, though. CNN had I think it's Ashley Banfield, a picture of her I got off the internet. It says, Ebola, in quotes, the ISIS of biological agents, ? I mean, holy smokes. I mean, that just shows the fear and what the media does. I was going to go through some headlines that are going on now, but I'm not, because I'm not going to stoke it. I'm not going to give these people any more press than they already shouldn't have. But let's get into the positive. I try to be optimistic most of the time, except for when I'm yelling at my team. They probably think I'm the biggest asshole, but tough love, right? Let's talk about some ideas and what's working. I do have to take a bit of a victory lap because we did a viral video. Steve Sugarud from Stansberry Research and I did a video that went viral, almost 2.5 million views on the internet. And on October 29th, we originally brought that out. I gave away a free stock on that evening. And that stock was called Teladoc, T-D-O-C. This company is a world leader in telehealth. So earlier this week, I was like, holy smokes, why is Teladoc spiking? Well, the CDC came out and they said, well, if you have to, go to a doctor, why don't you do telehealth? Because most insurances offer it right now. Instead of going, getting other people sick, stay home, do it, and just call them to the doctor. They could tell what the flu symptoms are and get you any medicine that you need and stay home and rest. Great idea. That's a reason why I love this company. Then they came out yesterday with blockbuster earnings. Stock gapped up, hit almost 150. So from that time on October 29th, when I gave this free stock out, it's a free stock, stock up over 100% in that time frame. And it's a stock that, again, we're getting crushed again today, down 1,000 points on Dow. It's up again today. Yesterday, it was up about 16% when the market was down over 1,000 points. This stock continues to hold on. And I didn't buy this or put this in the portfolio because of coronavirus at all. I love the long-term theme of telehealth going forward. But just an idea that, like, that you can make money in these stock markets. You do have to think big picture, though, and look at companies. So I want to congratulate all the millions of people that watched that, because a lot of you I know bought it because you shared it on Twitter. Since we put in a portfolio originally, we're up over 250% in a stock in less than 2 years, 250%. And again, up huge this week. So I want to pat myself on the back, but also really being serious, I want to thank everybody out there for the support and sharing that, you know, on Twitter, how you made money on the stock. And congratulations, really, honestly, congratulations for making some money. But let's look at, you know, some companies that, to me, who cares about coronavirus? Netflix. You know, Netflix has pulled back, not that much, not as much as the market, but, you know, Netflix has pulled back about 6% from a high. Why would people stop using Netflix because of this? If anything, they're staying home. It's ridiculous. That takes me then to a company called iQIYI, symbol is IQ, one of my favorite stocks. It's actually in our portfolio. I don't share portfolio stocks that often, but due to what's going on, I want to share this. This is the Chinese version of Netflix. So this company is it's held up pretty well, but it's down 10% today, but it's well off the lows. Again, why would anybody stop streaming video in China because of this? If anything, if you're not leaving the house, you're streaming more video. Just, it doesn't make sense, folks. And this company is a great growth company. Another one which you don't have in a portfolio, but it's very similar. It's a streaming service as well in China called Bilibili, symbols B-I-L-I. The stock has more than doubled since the low in October through the high last week. But again, this stock has pulled back in the last few days, 15%. But I mean, this stock, again, why would a great growth company like this fall? Just because people, as we talked about Dan Ferris earlier, they sell gold, they sell everything. They don't think, they just sell. And that's what's happening to some quality companies like this. Facebook, again, why would Facebook be hurt? What do they have? They have WhatsApp. They have, obviously, Facebook. Instagram, people aren't going to stop. If anything, if you're stuck in your house, you're doing more of this social media stuff. Again, what has Facebook's stock done? Down 17-18%. So to me, if you look at some of these companies, that if you like them before, you'll like them now. This is like saying I'm going to buy a car or a mattress or whatever it might be, a computer. And 1 week later, it's 20% off. That car, that mattress, that computer is still the same it was last week. You buy. That is a great buying opportunity. You know, those are all kind of tech stocks I talked about. But another example to me is the housing stocks. D.R. Horton, which is a big housing company here in the United States, hit an all-time high last week, now down 16% from that level. Here's a little wake-up call. When interest rates hit the all-time low, what do you think happens to mortgage rates? They fall as well. So mortgage rates fall, what happens? You can afford more home. Again, what does the coronavirus have to do with you buying a home or not? Absolutely nothing. So when you start thinking about things logically and get the fear out of your head, you can find opportunities like this. We already have a home builder in the portfolio, so I'm not going to add D.R. Horton. But the more I'm looking at this, I might buy some D.R. Horton when I get off this. Because the fact that this company had great numbers, hit an all-time high, pulling back 15-16%, holding above the 200-day moving average, and think about the fact that mortgage rates are going to drop and people can now afford more home or afford a home they couldn't afford at all before. This is great. Unemployment's still near an all-time low. Wages keep going up. Things, the world's not over, folks. Use this as an opportunity. Another quick story here, kind of going along with this, because I'm kind of sticking with this theme as we go. This has to do with AI, artificial intelligence, and healthcare. And, you know, the companies that are really in the news right now as far as finding a bit of a vaccine for the coronavirus, one's Moderna, mRNA. The stock skyrocketed, this week from over 100% at one point, now down today, down 12%. But they shipped some potential vaccines out to the United States. Gilead Sciences, GILD, same thing, popped, but down 7% today. Again, people are just selling everything today. It doesn't matter what it is. But it shows how quickly and how far we've come along in healthcare that we can come up with vaccines. a big theme that I've been really riding high the last few months, and another stock that I shared for free in a video that we did, our follow-up video that Steve Sugarud and I did. I'll talk about that company in a minute. But you know, MIT came out and basically said that AI and drug discovery is where it's at. And I agree with them. I've read a lot of futuristic books. We have stocks in a portfolio that mesh together artificial intelligence and drug discovery. You know, drug discovery takes years, 7-8 years. A bunch of blue tape you have to go through, FDA approvals, a boatload of money. But if you can run these through AI, I'm telling you, we're going to start coming up with drugs, I mean, literally overnight. So this is something to keep an eye on. Some of the stocks out there, again, I shared this stock, the most recent video, so I'm not giving anything away. And it's actually up 3.5% today. This stock is up today. It's BioXcel, symbols BTAI, BioXcel Therapeutics. They mash up drug discovery with artificial intelligence. As I mentioned in the free video, again, I'm not giving away anything that I didn't give away already. This stock has two drugs in phase 3 trials. There's a woman who came out, I can't remember, I think from Cowen, I think, research firm. She raised the price target. When I mentioned the stock was around $20 a share, it's around 33 and a half now. It rallied to above 40. She came out with about 150 price target on it. I saw somebody recently put a $90 price target on it. You know, of course, right after I talked about it and put my price target on it. But this is one of the leaders in that area. Another one is ICAD, I-C-A-D. Which melds to, again, another stock that's up 3.5% today. Like, I didn't plan this, folks. I didn't know the market was going to be down when I planned this podcast. These two stocks are both up 3.5% today when the market's getting absolutely shellacked. Again, this melds together AI and breast cancer detection, because humans can only do so much. You get the AI in when you get the breast cancer detection. I mean, these are the future. These are very small companies, but this is the future of healthcare. So keep an eye on stuff like this, where, again, regardless of what happens with any type of future potential pandemic or future potential health crisis, because there'll be another one in a couple of years. You know there will be. And so, you know, these are the types of companies. This is the future of healthcare. One more thing I want to talk about before I get into my rant, which, you know, I kind of feel like my entire show is a damn rant these days. Before I get into the rant, I want to talk about some of these stocks that people are buying that make like face masks and stuff like that. So I simply went this morning, I looked at the biggest gainers today. And I mean, it's insane, some of these stocks. And again, I'm not promoting these at all. I'm just sharing them to say, basically stay away from them. One is Allied Healthcare Products, AHPI. Let me see where this stock ended last Friday. So last Friday, this stock was at $2.46 a share. This morning, it hit $45 a share. This was a stock that was about an $8 to $9 million company, and it took off because it makes some respiratory stuff for health professionals. So people think, okay, everybody's going to wear a face mask. Another one that typically does this in these types of times, Alpha Protech, APT. Last Friday, the stock was at $5.70. It was over $40 today. The other one's Lakeland, L-A-K-E, another hot stock that, you know, the media talks about. But again, people are going to get fleeced because last Friday was at $13.60. Today, it over doubled that. It was a high today in a high 20s at $28. So I went back and looked when the Ebola crisis happened. APT and L-A-K-E, like, both did the exact same thing. Both came right back down within a couple of weeks. So don't chase these stocks. I'm telling you, I think the high is in. And this also shows us when there's this fear and people are doing this, the bottom is probably either in or very, very near in the overall stock market, in my opinion. So please, this was just like a public service announcement to stay away from that stuff, because those types of stocks, God, please don't do it. If you got in already, take your profits and run. I don't see it, because when it turns, it's going to turn so damn fast. All right, as I mentioned, this is a historic week, and you wouldn't think that I'd be smiling right now because, you know, the historically ugly. It's now Wednesday morning. It's about Wednesday morning. It's Friday morning, a little after 10 o'clock a.m. East Coast time. So the market's been open a little over 30 minutes, and the Dow's down over 1,000 points again. This could be potentially the third day of 1,000-point losses here in the Dow Jones Industrial Average. And, you know, it's getting to the point where it's almost ridiculous to me. just the way that this market's selling off, that I see such opportunity, but you know, I'm also a human being and I see the fear sitting in with a lot of people. So we have to address that. And we will address that throughout the show. But before we get into that, I'd like to welcome Dan Ferris from Stansberry Research. Dan's a great value investor. He's been doing it for a long time. I was lucky enough to be on his podcast, the Stansberry podcast, a few months ago. So I thought, what a great time to have him on right now with the market pulling back, trying to find some value. Also, he made a big call we're going to talk about in a moment. So, Dan, thanks for joining us here this morning. All right, so I want to get to your call, but you know, we can't ignore what's going on in the market right now. Just maybe some just general thoughts right now, what you're seeing and how you feel right now with what's going on.
Well, I think that as long as people are fearful and uncertain about the coronavirus, this is going to continue. And you know, whether there's a bounce or something in the interim, I certainly can't say. But you know, as long as we keep getting bad news and the thing keeps spreading, I think that this will continue. That's really all there is to that. I think I see people looking at various technical levels and, you know, assessing all kinds of things. And I don't think it means a whole lot right now. You know, a VIX spike or an extreme reading on a fear index and all that. I'm not sure that it means as much right at this moment as we think. You know, it'll mean something when it heads the other way, maybe. Mm-hmm. But for the moment, I just don't see how this doesn't continue as long as people are scared as they are.
I agree with you, but I think a lot of this fear is unwarranted, in my opinion. You know, the media. I was watching CNBC this morning, and Steve Leisman, an economist who I have some respect for, he basically alluded to a what-if possibility that if everything goes right, basically wrong, airlines will go out of business. I mean, that's complete BS to me. I mean, that is creating fear where there shouldn't be fear like that. The airlines aren't going out of business. The world's not ending. You know, so you're seeing stuff like that where when I see that, it makes me believe as a long-term investor. I agree with you. I don't know if we bounce or not, but as a long-term investor, I'm seeing some opportunity here. So you as a value investor, Dan, do you see this as an opportunity to get into positions for the long term, or do you wait and see?
Oh, no, you got to start looking around now. And you got to start, you got to start looking where maybe the bargains are beginning to open up or have opened up. And you got to do that work now, because, you know, you can't say, I'm going to wait. You know what I mean? You can't say, yep, I'm going to wait until what? You're going to know the day the bottom hits? I don't think so. So you have to look around now. And, you know, just personally, I'm a little shocked at the action in gold. And I've recommended a few of those names in my newsletter. And, you know, they're acting almost the exact, well, actually the exact opposite of how I would have expected. Mm-hmm. And I'd like to find another one that's as high quality, but it's really difficult. And personally, for my own portfolio, I'm comfortable with more risk than I put in my newsletter. So I'm looking for the smaller cap names that are getting hurt quite a bit, smaller cap gold names. It's funny because I'm lightening up on some to make room for others now, because I didn't like the other ones before, but now I do. So. So it could be fun that way. And even small cap, like other mining names that are getting hurt right now, because obviously we're looking at a global slowdown, a global economic, you know, the market is assessing global economic damage here, right? Mm-hmm. And that hurts all mining. So, I think there'd be some bargains there, but other business models are difficult. Because many of them are optimized for a situation that could change. The longer this goes on, the longer a country that's optimized to manufacture in China looks like it has a serious problem and has a real threat to its business model. So I think that guy who said the airlines would go out of business is probably a little over the top. Mm-hmm. But, you know, if you I think China's like, by passengers flown, China's like 14% of global commercial air traffic. So, mm-hmm. you know, if you fly a lot of flights in China, you can have a problem. You can have to really think about your business model a little bit. And other people may have to think a lot about their business model. It really depends on the duration of this event, doesn't it? It's difficult. It's difficult to think about it because you can't look forward. That's the problem here.
Yep. But I remember, and I'm not saying this is the same as Ebola, but I remember October 2014 when I was on Fox News, I pulled some old clips this week of how we talked about it every day. And there was a segment of myself and the other host talking about, should we shut down all airports at that point? Because there was a woman in Texas, I believe, a nurse who got Ebola. And it just shows the panic that was incurred by that. But you also saw how quickly the market came back. And it wasn't to this extent, it wasn't this violent a pullback. However, you know, we've seen this before. We've seen this type of fear. And, you know, it's that old pendulum thing I look at. The pendulum swings so far. And what we have to keep in mind is before this pullback, my God, we were so overvalued in the short term, not long term. I'm very bullish long term. We were overvalued in the short term. And you couldn't have asked for a better or perfect storm for the bears for the reason to sell. And so I think there's this that perfect storm coming together creates what will be eventually opportunities. But you're right. You can't see around the corner and you don't know where it's going to go. But I will tell you this, there will be flights going to China next year. It's not like people are going to stop flying. And that's just, that blows my mind. But going back to gold real quick, Dan, I know you like gold. It is amazing how, you know, looking at the gold ETF this morning, it's down 2% or about 1.75%. So it's that also tells me of the mass selling and the mass panic because historically you think, okay, gold should be up today in the last couple of days and it's pulled back the last few days. And that says, well, okay, we're in a sell everything, take a step back, and let's wait. Like we're just sell everything, go to cash, and that's that. When I see that fear, I start getting a little smirk on my face because I think there'll be opportunity in gold stocks and in many other stocks out there.
I think you're probably right, and you're right. It's similar to 2008. They're selling everything that's not nailed down, except bonds. And you know, the only thing I own that's up are teeny weeny put option position that I had out of the money put option position. Euro dollar futures have done well and bonds. And, I read something that suggested when we get to zero new cases, you know, when the coronavirus stops spreading, that's the day that the bond yields turn around, head the other direction, which would be odd.
Well, I mean, how low can it go when you get the 10-year yield at 1.2%? You know, I also look at that in kind of a funny way, but, you know, very simple terms. If somebody said to me, hey, Matt, you have the opportunity to loan money to the U.S. government for 10 years, and they're going to give you 1.2% a year, you're absolutely insane. Who the hell is doing that? That I'd rather sit in cash.
Absolutely. It does seem insane.
So let's get to your big call, Dan. You know, you as a value investor, when I read this, I always read your stuff, I almost fell out of my seat. It was over the weekend and I was going through some old, you know, some research I had to catch up on. And I saw that you had Bitcoin. And as a value investor, I want to know how this happened. What happened? I thought maybe you had a couple of drinks when you wrote it, but no, it's real.
Yeah. As far as I know, I'm not having a breakdown. The thing is, you know, and I laid out the argument for readers in the newsletter, and part of the key here for me is you establish a tiny position. This is potentially a highly asymmetric payoff situation where if you risk only a tiny amount, you know, maybe you buy $1,000 worth of this stuff or, you know, a few $1,000 if you're worth millions, that kind of a thing. And then you forget you own it. And it's so small, you don't care what happens to it. And it could go to zero and you literally don't care. It's almost like I don't know if you remember the article by Robert Kirby, the coffee can portfolio.
Yep.
So it's almost like a coffee can stock. You sit it in there and, you know, a bunch of the coffee can stocks just went to nothing and some of them made you rich, right? So so it's that type of a position. That's one of the important parts. And as for, you know, the things that can go right, Murray Stahl put out a nice piece where he was talking about the amount of currency that exists in the world, and if Bitcoin replaces any significant percentage of that, you can have a major several hundred bagger on your hands.
Mm-hmm.
So on the one hand, you lose a little bit of money that you don't, that you're fine with losing, or somewhere in between, or a major, several hundred bagger. That's a nice situation for me, and I can see it going right. And certainly as currencies go, you can print more fiat currency anytime you feel like it. You can actually dig more gold out of the ground. But that requires capital investment, so it's different. Mm-hmm. But this, Bitcoin is, there's a hard stop at what is it, 21 million.
Yep.
So, this could be already the best managed currency in history. that's not saying much. The bar is very low, but that's sort of how I feel about it.
Yeah, I mean, I'm a big Bitcoin bull. I own some myself. I own some of the altcoins myself. We launched a service a few months ago called Ultimate Crypto, and we do altcoins in there. We have six in a portfolio right now. And, I love the space. I view it a lot of different ways. I view Bitcoin as potentially, like you said, get a sliver of the world monetary market. And this is a 10 to 20, if not 100 bagger at that point. I am a bit surprised at the action in Bitcoin, similar to gold. I thought it'd be acting a little bit better in the last 2 weeks. It's pulling back. But I'm looking at a chart right now of what it's done in the month of February. And it's only down in the month of February from, it started a month around 9,000, just under 8,700 now. So it's actually held up pretty darn well. Even though I thought it would be doing much better at this point. Do you get involved in any of the smaller coins at all or just Bitcoin?
No, I only hold Bitcoin, and I only recommended Bitcoin in the letter. So,
okay.
I don't have a sense of the crypto space per se.
Mm-hmm.
I simply have a sense of, the growth in market cap, I guess, of Bitcoin. It's and people are using it to buy things, which is amazing. I've transacted in Bitcoin myself, and if this continues, and if it gets wider and wider and wider adoption, it's you can just sort of guess where I'm headed with this.
Mm-hmm.
Then we wind up with something that's probably far more valuable than what we're looking at $8,700 today.
I agree. I mean, I see it's a great buying opportunity long term for me. And I do the same thing. I'll be laying in bed and I see a dip and I'll buy a couple more on my little account online. It's so easy to set up. And that's a nice thing too. People years ago were scared away because it was tough to set up an account, but it's become so easy to buy Bitcoin now. It's like setting up an Amazon account. It's great. Giving the average investor can invest, like I said, put $1,000 in whatever you can afford to lose. Obviously you're not putting a large portion. I will say I have way too much of my portfolio in it, but I can handle the risk and I know what I know what I'm getting myself into, but most people don't. Yeah. So before we wrap up here, Dan, any thoughts on are you doing anything today in the market? Are you waiting till next week? Do you have anything that's jumping out at you that you want to share with people?
I have to tell you, Matt, personally, I feel like maybe I have 2008 on the brain too much and I'm focused too much on that one set of data points, but I feel like gold is going to find a bottom at some point and I want to be there in the futures market personally. I was there until Monday. I took a nice little profit, but then the action just went chaotic nuts and I mm-hmm. had to get out. So that's really the only thing that I'm looking to do. I did lighten up, like I said, I lightened up on a couple gold stocks. I didn't like the way they were acting and I expected much more out of them. I basically was oversized in a couple of things. So I sized those down and I'm looking at other ones to replace them with, because this would be the time to add to that.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, I'm just looking, at the chart as you brought that up, Dan, of the Market Vector's Junior Gold Miner ETF, GDXJ. And from the intraday high, when was this? The intraday high of Tuesday to right now, down 23%. I mean, who would have thought that's amazing. I didn't realize they were getting hit that hard until you brought this up. I mean, yeah, there has to be opportunity in there as well. I'm the furthest thing from a gold bug. I prefer Bitcoin, but my goodness, there has to be opportunity out there.
Has to be. And I believe there is, actually.
Well, okay, everybody listening, don't forget, follow Dan. You're on Twitter too, Dan, so follow Dan on Twitter. Check out his newsletter. It's amazing. Like I said, I read it on a regular basis. Like I said, I almost fell out of my chair on one weekend reading about Bitcoin. I almost sent you a tweet that moment, Dan. I'm like, I'm not going to bug him, but I almost sent you a tweet that moment saying, I want to make sure it's Dan and somebody didn't do something with you when I read that. But thank you so much for coming on today, and I'd love to have you back soon.
I'd love to come back anytime you want, Matt. Anytime.
Awesome. All right. We'll see you soon, Dan. Thanks a lot, buddy.
Okay. Bye-bye, Matt.
Okay. All right. That was Dan Ferris from Stansberry Research. Great to have him on. I mean, that was great to get his insight because, you know, I'm a big growth investor, as everybody knows, and Dan is more value. He likes gold. And boy, he brought up a good point here with these small gold mining stocks just getting absolutely demolished. And when I look at that ETF, you know, that was at a multi-year high on Tuesday morning. And from that intraday high on Tuesday morning to right now, down 22%. I mean, you think in this fear mongering, that shows you how effing crazy people are, how they're selling everything. Why are you selling gold? What do you think? Coronavirus? Nobody's going to ever mine gold again? Nobody's going to use gold? Again, I'm not a gold bug. I don't see the place for it in my portfolio personally, but holy shit. That's mind-blowing to me. All right, so let's just wrap this up with a little bit of a rant here, but not really a rant. It's more of a plea, to be honest with you. What's going on right now in the market? I don't know if today's the bottom. I don't know if Monday's the bottom. I don't. And I'll be honest with you. Anybody who says they know where the bottom is, they're lying to you. But I do know this. If you're a long-term investor, this is one of the great buying opportunities. I always tell the story when I give speeches. A lot of times I feel like I give a speech and the market's at an all-time high because we've been doing a lot of good markets the last 10 years. And, you know, I talk about XYZ stock and it's at a high and somebody raises their hand, where should I buy this? And you know, I said, well, look for a little pullback. And people are like, yeah. You give me a 10 to 15% pullback in that stock, I am buying. I'm putting everything I own to it. I want to own this company, but I don't want to chase it. That's great strategy. When I call them and I say, hey, listen, XYZ stock's down 15%. They say, are you out of your effing mind? I'm not buying this stock. Oh, it may go to zero. This happens every freaking time. Every time this happens, people say, look at that 15% pullback. It does not, it happens, but you do not buy because we're so mentally wired not to buy it. So what I'm telling you right now is people that have been saying, give me a pullback in this stock. Let this pull back. Here it is. I don't know if it pulls back 20 or 25%. If it's down 15 now, maybe down 20 now, maybe pull back 30. I will say this, there is a lot of quality companies on sale. And please do me one favor, turn off your television. Do not turn on CNBC. Do not turn on Fox Business because all that's going to do is scare you away from buying in the market. It's going to keep you out of doing the right thing. They don't give a shit about you. I do. Because if I continue to do you good, if my subscribers make money in the market, guess what happens? You stick with me. You buy more newsletters. And guess what happens to me? I make more money. It does nothing for me to not do the best for my listeners, my viewers, my subscribers, my clients, my friends, and my family. CNBC, all media, they're looking for money too. I love money, don't get me wrong. I do this because I have passion, but I also do it because I love money. CNBC does it for money, but they don't care if you make money or not. They care if you tune in. If they scare the shit out of you, it's good because you tune in. They say, you know what, things are okay. Be calm. You don't tune in. So keep in mind where they're coming from. They're bullshit artists. I'm here genuinely trying to help you. I'm not going to be right every time. It's just, I'm not. I'm human. But I will say this. I'm buying, I'm putting my own money in this right now. I'm buying into this dip. And I will say, 3 months, 6 months, 1 year from now, I believe you're going to be very happy. You took my advice to either stay in the market or put money in the market now. If you have any questions, feel free to reach out. But again, don't forget, hit that little like button down below, the share button. And subscribe. You want to subscribe to it because you want to be one of our first members. We're just launching this YouTube channel, so we're so happy to have you joining us. And then notifications as well. Click that little notification thing. You'll let us know when new videos come out. We have a lot of new stuff. I mean, Brooke and Jamal, our producer, and our social media connoisseurs back there. I mean, I am so freaking excited about what we're going to be doing. It's amazing. So you want to make sure that you're there when they come out because we're going to have some breaking information. So you want to make sure that you get notified when the new videos come out. Of course, follow me on Twitter, Matthew McCall, on Twitter as well. But for the most part, thank you so much for watching. I mean, this was an exciting show for me because there's a lot of good stuff going on. I talked about a lot of stocks. If you have any questions, you could always reach out to us. You can go to McCallMoneyWire.com. All of our free stuff there as well as our paid newsletters are there as well. But I want to thank you so much. Once again, stay the course. Turn the TV off. Enjoy your friends and family this weekend. Forget about this bullshit for a little bit. Enjoy life. This is Matt McCall, and it's been your Moneyline.
Thanks for listening to Moneyline with Matt McCall. To find more information, head over to McCallMoneyWire.com. That's McCallMoneyWire.com.